Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that someone is diagnosed with blood cancer like leukemia every 3 minutes? For many of those patients, a marrow transplant is their only hope for survival. Who will you save? Join Be the Match Registry today at youcouldbethecure.org.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And again, I am so thankful and grateful, and I am so appreciating that the Lord has allowed me to be with you again concerning His Word and this amazing broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, just to be a earthen vessel for Him to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ is such a blessing. And I pray that for you as well, as brothers and sisters who listen faithfully to this broadcast, who tune in week after week concerning God's Word, concerning the mission of His Word, and also concerning the blessings that come from our Father, Jesus Christ. So I pray that you are blessed and filled with the Spirit of God, and just knowing that He is reverenced. He is Almighty. So thank you for being with me and listening to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. Now, before we get started on our lesson today, we are going to, as always, look through the pages of the Bible and allow it to breathe on our hearts so that we will continue to grow and go in grace. But before we start, I would like to pray a prayer of thanksgiving to our Father. And if you would pray with me as we touch and agree, and we will continue in our lesson. Father God, we just thank you for so much. Lord, if we had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to say thank you. Thank you for this awesome lesson that you have placed in our bosom to walk through the pages of life, the gospel, as you reveal the beauty of your love, the beauty of your faithfulness, and the beauty of your Son, Jesus, who died on that cross for the sins of the world. It was only His blood, the perfect Lamb, who redeemed us, who gave us a new life. And thank you for your grace. Because of your saving grace, we believe that Jesus is our Redeemer. He is the bridegroom coming to redeem His bride. We thank you, Lord God, for that. Lord, thank you for what you are going to reveal to us through this lesson today. And I just pray that it touches every ear that hears today and that it stirs up the gifts within every heart that listens to this broadcast and this lesson today. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me. And now we are going to look at this lesson. Don't forget to say thank you. Just as simple as that. Don't forget to say thank you. And I like to read a doxology written by our brother in Christ, Thomas Kinn. And he wrote this beautiful doxology that some of us may have sang in church as we opened up the doors of the church, or some of us may not have heard it at all. But what's the most important thing about this particular doxology is the lyrics. And I'm just going to read the first stanza of this particular doxology. And it goes this way. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, our brother, Thomas Ken, expresses a heart of thanksgiving and an attitude of reverence of God Almighty through this doxology. We are called, as believers in Christ Jesus, as his children, we are called to praise him, praise him, praise him with the fruit of our lips in thanksgiving and adoration in all circumstances, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And we will look at that verse in detail. But we are called to praise him, praise him, praise him with the fruit of our lips in thanksgiving and adoration in all circumstances. So let's look at our lesson. Now, again, the title of this particular lesson is Do Not or Don't Forget to Say Thank You. And something that we've all learned as children, as we were raised by our parents, to always say thank you. And in today's times, some of our children, or even some of our adults, have a tendency to not say thank you. Now, we're going to look at thank you in detail, but we're going to go right to our passages in Scripture. So if you could get your Bible ready and your notepad ready for taking notes, and whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you that comes out of the passages and breathes upon your heart. So if you could flip to or go to Luke chapter 17. And this is where we're going to start our lesson. And we're going to look at this particular passage according to the Apostle Luke. And we're going to look at the gospel in chapter 17. And we're going to start with verse 11. So if you could follow with me in the gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to start reading with verse 11. Now, keep in mind, the lesson title is Don't Forget to Say Thank You. And before we start reading, I want to give you the points concerning the passage. So if you could take note of this, ungrateful faith. Ungrateful faith. Point two is thankful faith. And point three is grace, mercy, and faith. Point one, ungrateful faith. Point two, thankful faith. And point three, grace, mercy, and faith. So, let's read the passage. Luke 17, verse 11. And this is going to be read in the NIV translation. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria in Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go. show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he saw, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Amen. Now, as I read this passage, I love to see what the Holy Spirit reveals to me as I read Scripture. And I pray that that happens to you as well as you read through the passage. Several things popped concerning this passage, and there's a lot of beautiful nuggets tucked away in these verses. And in this particular chapter of Luke, Jesus talks or tells about forgiveness and faith. Forgiveness and faith. And in chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, Jesus talks about healing 10 men with leprosy. 10 men with leprosy. And as I mentioned in our points concerning this passage, ungrateful faith, thankful faith, and grace, mercy, and faith. We're going to look at our first point. Now, before I unpack that particular point, I want us to understand the story behind the 10 lepers in this passage. Records Luke 17, verses 11, 19, records an account of 10 men who had infectious skin diseases, commonly translated as, we know that as to be leprosy. And just a little history, in the Israelite community, when a person discovered a rash or some kind of skin disorder, he or she, they had to go to the priest for examination. Now, as we read in this passage, Jesus told them to go, show yourself to the priest. So this was a custom when they had some sort of skin disorder. They had to go to the priest for examination. And the priest determined whether this was a contagious disease or whether the person had to be declared ceremonially unclean. And if we remember some of the stories in the Old Testament, Moses' sister, Miriam, was stricken with leprosy. And their custom was that they be sent away for 7 days and to be isolated, if you will, or prohibited to be around anybody with this particular disease or any skin disorder or disease. So they literally became outcasts until they died. And, of course, this is their culture for something of this nature. And it was necessary, at least according to them, because it kept infectious diseases from becoming an epidemic in their community. So this is what Jesus told the ten to go and do. It was customary. So now, if we look at verse 14, and we reread that, when he saw them, he said, go. And I would like for you to underline that word, if you will, or make note of it on your paper, go, verse 14. Show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now we know, just as I made note or mentioned about Miriam in the Old Testament being Moses' sister, when they were in the wilderness, Jesus had healed several individuals who had leprosy, and of course she was one of them, Miriam, of some type of infectious skin disease. But in this particular passage, Luke 17, 10 men were part of a leper colony, and they approached him together, not individually, but together. But they remained at a distance, and we saw where they called out with a loud voice. And in verse 12, if we look at that, it says, as he was going into a village, Jesus, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. As per the law, they called out to him, Jesus, Master. And again, the law was they could not come near people. They had to be isolated or quarantined, if you will. They called out to him, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Without seeming to do anything to heal them, Jesus merely gave the instruction. Now remember, I said go. Underline the word go. He gave them instruction to go, show themselves to the priest. Now, when I think about this word go, I think about us as believers in Christ Jesus. We are commanded to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is our command, to go. Preach the gospel to all people, to the ends of the earth. So as you make note or underline the word go, think about it as a life application. And if you notice in verse 14, it said, and as they went, they were instructed to go, show themselves, and they went. At the moment of Jesus' instruction, just as he indicated, the men were still lepers. They went when they were going, they were still lepers. No physical change had taken place, but it says in verse 14, they went. They were cleansed. No physical change had yet taken place. But keep in mind, in faith, the men obeyed. Now that's a very important nugget. In faith, the men obeyed. As they began to walk to the priest, they were healed. And it says they were cleansed in verse 14. Verse 14 is a very impactful verse in this passage. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, out of obedience, by faith, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Jesus always required faith on the part of the person who has asked for healing. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She struggled for so many years with this issue of blood. And she went to every doctor. She used every bit of her money to try to do whatever there was possible for healing to take place in her body. And if you haven't heard the story goes that she heard of a man named Jesus who was in the city. And she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed." Now, again, she was excluded from the community, and she was deemed unclean by the community. She was not to be near anyone for the sake of them becoming unclean. And she also pressed her way. She went toward him. By faith, she believed, and she was healed of her infirmity or her issue of blood. And Jesus always required faith on the part of the person who asked for healing. And remember the 10 lepers in verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Have pity on us, Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They're asking of him. But it wasn't until they obeyed him and they went by faith. Many times he asks those who wanted to be healed, "Do you believe that I can do this?" According to Matthew 9:28, and according to Mark 9, verses 20 through 24. Many times Jesus asked those who wanted to be healed, "Do you believe that I can do this?" He required a demonstration of faith on the part of the lepers in asking them to walk away, even before he had healed them. And we know it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, just think about that. If they questioned, why do we have to go there? Because of our condition, we are not allowed to go around the priest. They have already excluded us, deemed to be unclean. They didn't ask why. They didn't ask what for. They didn't ask how come. They obeyed, even though it did not make sense to them. Now, that could be you and I at times. When we are instructed by God, by way of the Holy Spirit, to go into unfamiliar territory or uncomfortable territory or situations, and we are to proclaim or bring light or shed light to a situation. Case in point, there was a time some time ago where a situation took place with a company called Enron. And this particular company, they were committing fraud. And several within that company knew that fraud was going on. But no one would stand up and expose the wrongdoing within that company. But one individual took courage to reveal the wrongdoing concerning people's money, their investments, their retirement over time. And she took the courage to reveal, expose, shed light on what was being done in that company. And she was a secretary of some sort, but her position gave her the opportunity to see what was being done wrong and to expose. And she stood up and she did that. Now, that would have been uncomfortable for you or myself, and I'm sure it may have been for her. She probably contemplated not doing it, but she trusted God, and she knew that it was uncomfortable, but by faith and obedience, she exposed. Yes, she got talked about, she was ridiculed, she was looked at as the wrongdoer because people lost so much money. But sometimes, even in that, still have to obey. And these lepers knew better, but they went. And they were cleansed. So he required a demonstration of faith on the part of the lepers in asking them to walk away even before he had healed them. Now, the Bible does not record how far they had to walk before being healed. It's not recorded. But however, only one man returned to thank Jesus for the healing. Now, Luke makes special mention of the fact that the one who returned was a Samaritan. And in the NIV translation, it says foreigner. And we see that in verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, Jesus asks. And only one returned to thank Jesus for the healing, a Samaritan, a person despised by the Jews, despised by the Jews. Jesus expressed disappointment that the other nine, now there were 10, one came back, the other nine had not thought to give praise to God for their healing. Now remember, the title of this lesson is Don't Forget to Say Thank You. Not one out of the nine thought to come back and give praise to God for their healing. There were 10. All of them went to the priest, but only one returned. The other nine did not. And from this, we can learn that God desires for us to express our thankfulness to him for all he does in our lives. Let's look at something. Let's look at the ungrateful faith in the nine. Ungrateful faith. And as we read in the passage, they never returned out of 10. The 9 became the majority. The 9 became expected to receive because of what they heard about a man named Jesus. Expected, obligated about the man named Jesus, obligated to heal their body on the outside, owes them something. Because of who he is, Jesus, they may have thought owed them. And the 9 became the majority. Expected, obligated to receive. Jesus owes that to them, the healing. And they became the majority, ungrateful faith. Now think about this. In the passage, the 9 became the majority out of the 10. And think about their actions. The 9 followed each other, the crowd. Think about how they had faith, enough faith to go and believe that they were going to be healed by, according to them, Jesus, a man named Jesus. Now, it doesn't spell out or indicate in Scripture their understanding of who Jesus is. It doesn't indicate that all of them were Samaritans. It doesn't indicate that all of them were foreigners. It just specifies that they were all lepers, diseased, outcast, until pretty much they died, unless the priest could see clearly that their disease or their infection was gone before they were allowed to come back in to the community. Ungrateful faith. And that can be us at times, God, to do what we expect him to do. We expect him to do that, or he's obligated to do that for us because maybe of who we are, or he owes it to us because of what I do in works. Ungrateful faith. We've got faith, but we're ungrateful. It's an expectation. He owes it to us. And so we move around as the majority of forgetting to give thanks for what we've received, or even in our diseased state, we forget to give thanks. And so the point in this passage concerning the 9, the majority, or the lesson learned, is that we not forget to say thank you like the majority of the world or the 9 did. They went off possibly just expecting Jesus to do this for them. Maybe because of what they've heard, how he may have healed other people, a blind man. Maybe he cast out demons in another man, or they may have even heard a woman with the issue of blood be healed. We don't know specifically, but scriptures give us room to think outside the box. But these nine were ungrateful. They had faith enough to go and obey his command, but they did not show gratitude. They were healed on the outside, but they weren't healed on the inside. So now, I don't want to focus so much attention on the ungrateful faith, because before we came into oneness with Christ, meaning born again, we were this way. And we have to check ourselves daily to make sure that we don't continue in this way. And scriptures tell us that we are to have a transformed mind, to not be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. An attitude of gratitude. But the nine, the majority, demonstrated an attitude of ungratefulness. So when people do things for us, we aren't to forget to say thank you. When people do acts of kindness or unexpected things that they do for us or bless us, we are to have a attitude of gratitude. Thank you. But even if they do something to us or that is uncomfortable, that doesn't feel right, that doesn't seem right, after we've prayed for them, we are to give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It didn't make sense to the ten, but out of obedience, they went and they received. Let's look at point number two. So before I move to point two, point one, do not be of the majority. Be of the minority. And this goes for believers. This goes for the believers. Don't forget to say thank you. Point two, thankful faith. Now that we know that the majority of the ten, the nine, all of the nine did not express or demonstrate an attitude of gratitude. They were the majority. They were unrepentant. They were healed on the outside, yes, but there was no spiritual healing on the inside. But let's look at that one man. In the NIV, Jesus called him a foreigner. He came back, as we read in verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, a loud voice, not a soft voice where nobody could see him, or I don't want to draw attention to myself, I don't want anybody to know because they know my old reputation, a leper. He came back praising God in a loud voice. Now let's look at that. Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet, very important, and thanked him. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. Let's look at some scripture. According to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, let's go there in scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to start at verse 18. Actually, let's start at 16, and we're going to read through 18. Be joyful always. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And in verse 16, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's look at this a little more closely. In verse 16, it indicates our joy, prayers, and thanksgiving should always be in obedience. There are three commands in verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. When we make a conscious decision to do what God says, we will begin to see people in a new perspective. So when we're in a situation or a circumstance, and we can be joyful in it always, regardless of how it feels, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, then we will start seeing people in a new perspective. God wants growth from his children. When we do God's will, we will find it easier to be joyful and thankful. It may not make sense to some. When we do God's will out of obedience, remember the lepers, they did go. He told them to go to the priest, and they went. Obedience. And they went by faith, not really knowing how they were going to be healed, in what way or what shape it was going to take on their body. They just did it. We will find it easier to be joyful and thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Let's think about this. The attitude in verse 17, pray continually, is to build upon acknowledging our dependence on God. We have to realize presence within us and determine to obey him fully. Remember, the lepers obeyed. This is where we are to grow to, in obedience of God's will. And we pray frequently, spontaneous, short prayers maybe. Just pray continuously. And a prayerful attitude is what grows us in our situations, in our circumstances. I just came out of a circumstance. But for 12 months, I had to pray, and I had to partner with brothers and sisters in Christ that they would pray with me. I had to call on the saints of the church to pray and intercede with me concerning a circumstance that I did not like the way it felt. I did not know how it was going to end up, but by faith, I was trusting God every step of the way. By faith. Thankful faith. Joyful always. Even in our emotions, even in our tears, we can be joyful. Even in our, I don't know how this, what this means, Lord, we can be joyful. And it takes continual prayer. So, give thanks not for, verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And I like what the commentary, this one particular commentary I was reading, it says this, Paul is not teaching that we should thank God for everything that happens to us, but in everything. Evil does not come from God, so we should not thank him for it. But when evil strikes, we can still be thankful for God's presence and for his and for the good that he will accomplish through the distress. That was my 12-month test of my faith. The evil that took place concerning the circumstance, I don't thank God for that. In that circumstance, I am to give thanks because I know it is according to his perfect will that all things are working together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose because we are to love him first. He is sovereign. Everything is under his sovereign control. And he will work it out for our good. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Again, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And of course, we saw in Luke 17, verse 16, as we go back to that, and it says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? But I love what he says in verse 19. Then he said to him, rise, go, your faith has made you well. Rise, go. He said that to the woman with the issue of blood, rise. He said that to Miriam in the wilderness with Moses. He said that your law says that she needs to be away from the camp for 7 days. And after 7 days has passed, bring her back. Instructions from God to Moses concerning his prayer, interceding for his sister, healing of her physical body. but we are to be healed on the inside. Not only the outside, but on the inside for the world to see. And when the fruit of the Spirit come through us, the world will know that we are children of light. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We are a peculiar people. And that one Samaritan outshined the nine because he went back. Attitude of gratitude. He was the minority, not the majority. He had a willingness to be joyful. Remember, it said in verse 15, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I can just imagine him singing, jumping up and down, thanking God, throwing a hallelujah in there. Praise the Lord. Remember the prodigal son. He went away. And he stayed away. And the father looked for him day after day. Oh, but when he came back home, what a praise of celebration it was. Glorifying God, thanking him all the time for his son returning home. That is us. God is looking for us to dance before him, sing before him, exalt his name, praise him, glorify him in the midst of the storm, before the storm, and after the storm. Remember, in the beginning of this lesson, I read the doxology written by Thomas Kinn, and it said, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." This is an attitude of reverence of God Almighty when we praise him. A willingness to be joyful, a willingness to pray continually, and a willingness to give thanks in everything, not for everything that happens to us, but in everything. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Don't forget to say thank you. And my last point is grace, mercy, and faith. Now, some may not understand the difference between mercy and grace. Some of us may think they're the same, but they are not the same. They are different. Grace is God's blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. What is mercy? Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Let me read that again. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. God's grace rains on the just and the unjust. His grace. So think about those 10 lepers. They were healed. And they went away. And they did not come back to say thank you. But that one that did, the Samaritan, the foreigner, the minority, he came back singing and dancing and shouting, thanking the Lord, praising God. And he fell at Jesus' feet. It's something about getting on our knees in prayer and worshiping. It's something about the knees. When we're on our knees, we touch the sky. And he fell at his feet. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. And I think about that. According to the Bible, we all have sinned. According to Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, Romans 3, 23, and 1 John 1 and 8. So make note of those scriptures so that you could see how the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you what you need to see. As a result of that sin, we all deserve death and eternal judgment in the lake of fire. With that in mind, every day we live as an act of God's mercy. Remember, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. A plea to God for mercy is asking him to withhold the judgment we deserve and instead grant us the forgiveness we in no way have earned. We deserve nothing from God. Those 10 did not deserve anything from God. God does not owe us anything. I made mention of that in the first point. He doesn't owe us anything. Anything good that we experience is a result of the grace of God, according to Ephesians 2:5. To have the very next breath to breathe is God's grace. Grace is simply defined as unmerited favor. Grace. Mercy and grace are best illustrated in salvation. We know that. That is available through Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace, but we believe by faith. Because of mercy and grace, of God now, our response should be to fall on our knees in worship and thanksgiving. Hebrews 4:16 put it this way. It declares this: let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Those lepers had a time of need. And they went to Jesus, crying out or calling out in a loud voice, pity on us. And because of the love of Jesus Christ, he gave them what they requested. But the one that came back, he did not forget to say thank you. He was healed not only on the outside, he was also healed on the inside. And that is what God wants for the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, according to John 3:16, that he gave. God loved those 10 lepers. He gave. But only 9, the majority, not only 9, but the 9, the minority, had an ungrateful faith. They wanted what they wanted so they could go on living their lives the way they want to live them. But thank God for the one. Is that one you? Are you going to become the minority and have a thankful faith? Being joyful, continuously in prayer, and giving thanks in all circumstances? Yes, it's hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The promises that are made to those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior are in an abundance. God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out multiple blessings. So many, they're too much to contain, too many to hold. They're so much that they're pressed down, shaken together, and even running over. And that blessing is the new kingdom, the promise of the new Jerusalem. When we all get together, what a day of rejoicing it will be. So I hope that the 10 lepers shed some light on you, yourself. And for those who may not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do what that one leper did. According to verse 18, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And when you bow down to him and you give your life to Christ right now and let him know that you cannot save yourself, that you are a sinner, that you ask for forgiveness and believe by faith that he died on that cross for you and for me. He will come into your life. He will reign on your heart, and he will lord over your heart if you let him. And you cry out with a loud voice, God, save me. And you will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Up to you to ask. The 10, they cried out and they asked, and they did receive. But the majority went one way, but that one minority was made whole on the inside and out. And I pray, brother and sisters, that you would partner with me and pray for those that you know in your personal circle or inner circle of influence, that you would pray for them to have salvation, that they would receive salvation. It may be a friend. It may be a spouse. It might be a coworker, a boss. It may be someone that you've observed going to and from work. Pray for them that they would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would fall at Jesus' feet and surrender it all to him, that they would get up as a new creature, new creation in Christ Jesus, that they would be made whole. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please make sure that you seek out a Bible teaching church and you be discipled in a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class, that you would grow and go in grace, that you would tune in to this broadcast on a weekly basis, that you would continue to grow and hunger and thirst for the richness of God's word that you would allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to teach you, to comfort you, to guide you, to shepherd you. This is our prayer. This is my prayer. Thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, and I pray that you never forget to say thank you and to give thanks in every circumstance, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but saints, never forget that the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed week.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay, judges. That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.